1 hour of hockey talk to kick off your afternoon. This is Hockey Central at Noon, only on Calgary's hockey station, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Howdy, happy Friday, Kelly Kirsch. Will Nault is filling in for Pat Steinberg. Pat Steinberg's filling in for Rob Kerr. Rob Kerr is out in the bush looking for pheasants. That's what's happening on Friday right here, right now. It's simple as that. Busy show today. We'll be hearing from one of our NHL insiders, Jason Strudwick. We'll talk about the Outdoor Classic, which is the Heritage Outdoor Classic, which is coming up this weekend in Winnipeg. And we'll even maybe get a little chance to hear from Matt Duchene to talk about the Avalanche's early start. But first, let's see. 5 games, 3 points. Not good. We're panicking. Flames Nation all worried about everything. Let's talk to Peter Labardius. And that's where we play the credit for here we go. So just play the see Patrick,
that's
there's
good.
A,
I needed a laugh
our,
today.
Our good friends at Gemini, there's like a little I can't reach from over here, but there should be a little tag that says, you know, Peter Labardius brought to you by Gemini Group. Why make your house something or other, blah, blah, blah. See them on Facebook. So we'll just pretend we'll do that, and we'll you got it? Okay, play it now.
Like Flames Insider Peter Labardius brought to you by the Gemini Group. Imagine your life, your style, your home renovations should be a reflection of you. Give your home the Gemini difference. Follow them on Facebook.
Oh, God, I try.
There it is. There it is.
There we go.
It's good. We needed a little levity today, to be
absolutely
honest.
We do. So, hey.
Yeah.
So, Pete, 5 games, 3 points. All the games the Flames have played against non-playoff teams, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
The big players are not playing like they're big players. Monahan, Bennett, Gaudreau, not doing what we want them to do just yet. Brian Elliott is, you know, to quote you, fighting it a little bit. And the puck battles. And the power play's no good. And the penalty kill, I mean, they're doing okay, but they're taking too many penalties. Other than that, everything's fine.
Well, that's to a certain degree it in a nutshell.
Yeah.
I'm a little surprised, and I got a little hot under the collar last night on Mr. Fireplace Flames warm-up. Listen, I understand. I'm a sports fan too, and I like this team myself. So I get the passion. I appreciate the passion. I just think, Kelly, and I'm not trying to make any excuses for anyone or anything. Yes, would a number of members of this team look you in the face and be able to tell you that they're at their best right now? The answer would be no. And, you know, we don't have to stretch that any farther. But what I really see, in all sincerity, is a team getting used to doing things differently, a team with higher expectations again, a team that is pressing, a team that knows it's better than how it's playing, and I don't see a lot of joy in their game right now. I don't see a lot of fun in their game. They look like there's a pretty heavy weight, and I was hoping that weight might be lifted in part after the win against Buffalo, even though, you know, it wasn't a game that you would necessarily rave about, outside of the fact that they showed great resolve. You're going to go through these times in every season. The best teams do. So I think the storm and what's really making it difficult and bringing people to, I don't know, some of the calls that I keep listening to on our radio show, and you see them more than I do, and the text and all that I don't, you know, have firsthand.
They're crazy, Lou. They're crazy.
Right,
people
you know,
are upset, and so am I. Like, I was listening last night, and I'm going, you know, can we just get off to a good start, right? You know?
Right.
And I get people are frustrated. I'm frustrated,
No, and
too.
I get it. You know what? Everybody's frustrated. There isn't anybody that either likes the team, is a fan of the team, has any stake in whether the team does well. Of course they're frustrated. But do you not think that it isn't a little bit more magnified by the fact that it's the first 5 games of the year? I think it is.
Yeah.
And again, I think it's also magnified, and it's not unfair. None of this is really unfair. Well, some of the comments I've been hearing are unfair, whether we really address that or not. But, I mean, when people are suggesting that the team has a coaching issue 5 games into a new season, I mean, you know, come on.
Let's draw
the line. Are you upset with how they're playing? Sure, I can live with that. Are there struggles? Yes, I can live with that. But let's, you know, let's hang on for just a second before we get to those levels.
And
again, I understand, you know, passion. Yeah, I got a little passion. I care about sports a tad too much. So, you know, I get why people are fired up, but I do. I think in many ways it's the perfect storm in a bad way at a bad time. Because you know what, Kelly? Even if indeed this is a playoff team, and I still think it has a very good chance to be that, and everything comes together, there just isn't a team in the league that isn't going to have 4 or 5 game stretches throughout the course of the year, probably a couple of them, where things don't go so well.
Yeah.
The hard part for the Flames, and I think the hard part for people to digest, is that it has happened right out of the gate.
Yeah, and I think if you don't want it to happen, but it's reasonable to think when you've got your top sniper who is, you know, holding out, and then he finally, you know, he comes back but doesn't get any preseason games. You get Sean Monahan who gets injured getting ready for the World Cup. You've got a new coach. You got a new this. You got a new that. And but you see the schedule, you know, the pocket schedule here. We get Edmonton, Vancouver, Buffalo, Carolina. I was like, okay. And then you see, oh, geez, St. Louis, Chicago, St. Louis, then Washington, and then another road trip. So you go, oh, well, let's make some hay here. But they didn't, and that's kind of the way it is. The thing that I was kind of making note of and just hearing what people were saying on social media was just the, boy, they sure had their shots at the power play in the first period, like a 4-minute, and it just seems like, you know, and Carolina is very good at kind of the blue line is their fortress, right? They were very good at that. But
They were very good. They were very, very good at that.
But they just, you know, getting control in that zone is all about the, you know, the Glenn Gullickson sort of way of doing things, right? The puck possession deal. So that's got to get fixed pretty quick. And I know they're working on it and trying hard.
Well, they're working on it. Yeah. Every day they've been working on it, going right back to basically almost day one of camp. And here, just a little bit of an explanation. I don't care what the sport is. When things aren't going well and people press, and in a lot of cases people press because they know that a lot is expected of them, and they also know what they're capable of. You know, the reason sports are team sports is just that. Your ability to play as a team, play together, support one another, still wins out a lot of times, Kelly, despite sometimes having, you know, the better individuals. And to me, the power play right now is a perfect example. So when I chatted with Glenn yesterday, he, to me, completely outlined everything. These guys, trust me, they know what they're up against, what they're going to face. And he said to me yesterday, flat out, okay, Bill Peters does a great job. This team plays with wonderful structure and great pace. We have to match that. And when we see situations that arise, i.e. 4 people standing up at the blue line and flushing you to one side on, you know, a neutral zone situation on a penalty kill, then chances are, and again, I'm no coach, I'm not trying to be a coach, but trying to relay it the best that I understand it. So let's make that clear.
Yeah.
That is, you have to gather some speed and be prepared to dump pucks into places where you can retrieve it. That's one option. The other option is sometimes when you carry the puck into that group, sometimes you have to be prepared to go back, reset, and reverse the puck to the other side of the ice. But when you're frustrated and it's not going well and you're not winning as many faceoffs, let's also make note of that on the power play. That's why the faceoff starts in the opposing zone, because the NHL, in an attempt to create more goals and more offense, you know, in the last several years, when a team gets a penalty, where does the faceoff go? It goes into the zone of the team that takes the penalty for that very reason. But if you don't win the faceoff, to begin, guess what? That's 20 to 30 seconds right off the hop. And now you've got to enter. Now you've got Anter. And the other thing that I wanted to point it out on this very hit today, because I think it's important. Yes, as fans, I don't care who you are, we're always going to be frustrated with our own group when it doesn't go well. That's fans. I get it. I'm a fan too. But let's give some credit to the other group who had an excellent plan. They played it. They played it exceptionally well, and they deserve some credit for doing it.
They do.
And you talked about another thing, chasing games. Mm-hmm. Kelly, it's hard to do. It takes a toll. And guess what? When you're pressing A because the start isn't as good as you'd like points-wise, and B, you're chasing in most games that you play, you don't think that doesn't add to people pressing and gripping sticks
yeah.
and, you know, probably not making the plays they normally would? Of course it does.
But the thing is, Pete, last night they get to 3-2, and you were there. I could just sense that maybe you guys call it swagger. Call it whatever you want, confidence.
Mm-hmm.
But they just seemed, okay, we've got about 11 minutes to go. We got things going on. Okay, here we go. And I kind of felt like, yeah, this is, you know, and you could tell the other team was going, oh, geez, like what is with Western Canada? This is like the movie. We've seen this movie again. But then it just, you know, a couple of mistakes, a couple of penalties, and it's like, oh. So it's just one of those things. It's a fine line, but
it is.
When we it's funny, you talk about puck battles, and we've talked about that quite a bit, a little bit, you know, on the morning show and here now. And our good friend Perry Barazan, I watched a game with him years ago, and he said, you know, a neat thing to do to see how a team is doing is that you draw a line down the middle of a piece of paper, and you have, you know, Flames on one side and the opposition on the other. And you just kind of do, you know, like one line for each puck battle lost or won, and however mm-hmm. you want to do it. And you just do it for each and just make a line. Okay, now you got four and there's five across. And if you do it for a period, it's amazing to see 9 times out of 10, the team that is winning those puck battles.
Yeah, is winning the game.
Usually wins. And yeah. the opposite is true. And last night I did it a little bit in the third period, and it was mostly Carolina, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's
yeah,
the thing.
It's fair, and Glenn addressed it right after the game, and we could see it. I talked about it a few times, you know, on the broadcast where there was 50-50 battles in the middle of the ice where, you know, both teams were in a good position, and if you don't win those battles, you're right. To me, that's one thing I always look at. The other thing, Kelly, I always look at is which team controls the middle of the ice
mm-hmm.
and gets through the middle of the ice with the most success. And again, I think last night on the whole, not the whole time, because again, it's been the case in most games and probably, you know, in almost every game in the league, there were stretches of the Flames game last night that I really, really liked where they did control that area. But I think on the whole, in assessing where things are right now, is that in many ways, there's only one way to get out of it, and that's to work your way out of it.
Yep.
Because, you know, I also don't want to group everybody on the team with the same brush. It's not fair, because there are players on this team playing exceptionally well. Michael Backlund, Michael Frolik, Matt Stajan, Lance Bowman is, you know, playing his role. There's guys on defense that are, you know, doing really well and more than living up to expectations. And I think in some ways, and again, I'm not trying to be overly critical because I know it's very hard, but in many ways, it's probably some of those guys that are carrying a little extra weight on their shoulders for whatever reason. Some of the better players on the team is getting back to more simple hockey where, you know, in situations that present themselves, when you're staring two or three guys down at the blue line, you know, instead of carrying pucks past them, you got to get pucks in.
Yeah.
And every time this year, this team, you go back to the first period against Edmonton in the home game, there was some brilliant hockey played. And that's why, because they put pucks in places that created absolute mayhem in the Oilers zone. And they were on pucks. And to go back to your point, they won puck battles. And after they did that, they got to the net. And then they won more battles that way. And they made really good decisions with the puck. So There's been two great stretches of hockey for me this year. And now, you know, bottom line is there needs to be more of it, or we're going to continue to have these kind of conversations.
Yeah, it's one of those things, and we talk about this, and it's I feel like it's one of those relationship talks you have with your significant other. You keep talking about the same problem over and over again,
and
you want, you know, you have to keep talking about it till the other person feels good about it. And the problem, if we're talking about this relationship, is the power play isn't, you know, it's 0-4 at home, and the penalty kill is okay, but they're taking too many. The most penalized team in the NHL going into last night's game. I don't suppose last night helped at all. So those are the two things.
Like, guess what frustration leads to?
Penalties. Right?
Again, yeah. It's not an excuse, but it all gets married together. And I love your point. I mean, this is when a group of people, you know, needs to just, I know it's overused and it's going to continue to be, but you got to stay with it. You got to believe. You got to believe in the process, and you've got to buy into it, and you've got to execute it. Because when you do, good things happen. This is a good hockey team. This is a real good hockey team with real good personnel. And I guarantee you, I don't know when, but we're going to be having very different conversations. And my guess is those conversations aren't going to be too far down the road. This team needs a boost.
Yeah,
they need a game. And you know what, Kelly? This is going to sound odd to you, but and maybe I'll be proven wrong. And as always, I'm the first guy to take accountability. I'll always say that I'm wrong. I always have and always will when I'm wrong, even though I have very strong beliefs.
Yep.
And that is maybe St. Louis, Chicago, those kind of games are exactly what this team needs, because they know, and teams know, don't kid yourself. When they play excellent opponents, there's a difference. There's a different feel. There's a different buzz. You know, in many ways, you know, the Oilers game at home didn't work out, but the Flames group was ready. And they were ready to go into Vancouver, you know, in a tough situation. Have they been where they've wanted to be against Buffalo and Carolina?
Yeah.
If they're honest, probably not.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, you know, maybe the opposition being stronger is going to help them, as you say. So we'll have to see. We'll begin to find out tomorrow, as it's the late game on hockey night in Canada. The one before we get to Lou's mailbag, because it's Friday, everybody. The one guy that's been in and out and in and out of the doghouse with fans since he's gotten here is Matt Stajan. But if you talk about consistency, that line. They crash, they bang, they make all kinds of noise. I'll tell you, the fourth line, if you want to call them that, they must grade out probably, besides maybe Frolik and Backlund, they grade out just fine in my book so far.
Well, and in my books too. I think Matt's playing terrific hockey. I think whoever he's playing with has been really, really good. And you know what, Kelly, in many ways, the theme of the conversation is because they're staying within themselves. And they're playing a simple, effective game. You know, they're not trying to force things most of the time. They're dumping pucks. I think about one play last night in the game where Michael Ferland's in a one-on-one battle in his own zone. He's able to kind of one-hand the puck into the neutral area, and then Matt Stajan races onto it after it gets chipped by the defenseman, and voila, another good shift. Ended up with two quality shots on net. Unfortunately, they didn't go in. You know, Matt also had a breakaway later in the game and felt for him there because the puck was kind of bouncing as he was trying to control it, and I don't think he ever got great control. But that, to me, in many ways, is what some of the struggles are all about. You know, I hate to call them simple players. It's not fair. But it's not necessarily about – but it's about playing the game – you know, in a simple, Glenn Gullitson calls it direct.
Yep.
And I think if you want to call, you know, them the number three and four lines, however you want to label them, that's fine. And then probably fair in certain cases. But I think those groups have been really successful game in and game out because they're playing a very direct game. And they're really seeing the game for what it is and not trying to do more than what the situation presents.
Yeah, it's neat to see, and we need more from that line, and we'll see if we get it coming up tomorrow night. All right, Lou's mailbag. It's a Friday tradition because it's a lot of fun. Very easy to enter. You go to our website, you go to contests, you look for Lou's mailbag, you fill out all your info, and then you ask your question. And if we read said question on Friday, you get a pair of tickets, lower bowl tickets for a Flames game, up for grabs tomorrow night's game against St. Louis, 8 o'clock Ooh. Start, right?
Nice.
Good, yeah, Saturday night.
Yeah.
Awesome. And the question comes from Eric Burton. And his question is for Peter, obviously, and he says, has the NHL changed so much in the last few years, fast, young, skilled, that the Bantam draft, in quotation marks, CHL, will reflect this change? And I thought, well, that is a perfect question for a guy who loves junior hockey and follows it like you do.
Well, it's interesting because, Kelly, right now I'm involved in helping out the Western Hockey League and doing some of their games at the Western Canada Under-16 Challenge, which just happens to be, you know, the best players from the most recent Bantam draft. And I can tell you this, after watching on Wednesday, and I'm going back right after this interview concludes out to the Mark and McPhail Center at Winsport to watch two more games and help out there. Here's the trend that I keep seeing. Bigger, stronger, faster. Kids just keep getting better. So, yes, for absolute sure. And, you know, right now the exciting thing is in the NHL and in hockey, I think, you know, the game and the focus of the game has changed. It has gone far more to speed and puck movement and, you know, maybe getting away. I've even seen it, you know, this week where, you know, there was a time in the Western League in particular that I've followed my whole life where, you know, it was about big, strong, yeah, 6'2", 6'3" defensemen. And in many ways, you know, some of the 6 foot or, you know, these kids now 5'9", 5'10", yeah, for right now.
They wouldn't even get a look, Lou. They throw them to the AJ or the SJ or wherever. Like, that's
right. Yeah. But now the game has changed. And, you know, further to Eric's question, the changes are always reflected all the way down because it really starts at the NHL level. And Kelly, here's how I look at like defense to begin with. Okay. For a long time, probably up until the last 7 years or so, defenses to me at all levels, whether it be, you know, midget, junior, the NHL, would be about kind of four bigger, strong, steady Eddie, stay at home type guys and two puck movers.
Yep.
Now to me, it's reverse. Now it's all about four and five guys who can read the game, see it, make plays, move pucks, and then maybe you got one or two big, strong, you know, steady Eddie guys because you're always going to need one or two of those. So because of that, the game has shifted. And however, the interesting thing to me is, and I actually chatted on this subject with Glenn Gullitson yesterday, I think in some ways now we've got to kind of not completely flip back, but it's like the
it's
head
gone too far.
Chopped,
you mean?
Well, the head kind of gets chopped off now at the other end. We used to throw that 5'10", 5'11" guy, you know, right out the window, wouldn't even give him a chance. Now, sometimes I think at the younger levels that there's so much emphasis on, you know, speed and puck moving guys and guys with offensive ability that I think sometimes we're missing out on. Now you got to skate. So don't get me wrong. I don't care what size you are. You got to skate. So that has to be for sure. But I do think maybe sometimes we're missing a little bit on kids who, you know, aren't maybe the greatest of offensive type players, but can still move pucks and, you know, can defend really well.
Yeah.
Because it's such a hard thing in minor hockey and then even translating as far as the NHL. You know, the biggest transitions in the game are when you're in peewee and Bantam and midget and all the way up, usually by the time you're 16 and you're playing against 19 and 20-year-olds in the Western League, you can't run the circus, as I like to call it,
yeah,
the way you once did. And that's where the game starts to separate itself. But, mm-hmm, you know, it's a long-winded answer to say, yes, you are seeing a reflection. I'm even watching it right now in our very city this week. There are four or five kids that I've watched this week already that I will be shocked if they don't end up in the National Hockey League.
Oh, there we go. All right, yes. Eric, there's your answer, and congratulations. You're a winner on Lou's mailbag. A pair of tickets to go see the Flames in St. Louis tomorrow night. Our crack promotion team will get a hold of you. We'll let Peter Labardius take off, enjoy the rest of his Friday, and we'll be listening for you guys tomorrow from the Saddle Dome as it's well, Rogers Calgary Flames hockey from the Mr. Fireplace Flames warm-up comes at 7. It's a late start. And then we'll do that from the Basement Systems Hot Stove Lounge. Looking forward to it. So we'll see what happens. St. Louis in town tomorrow night should be a good one. There we go. Thanks, Peter. There we go.
Flames Insider Peter Labardius brought to you by the Gemini Group. Imagine your life, your style, your home renovations should be a reflection of you. Give your home the Gemini difference. Follow them on Facebook.
Yeah, we're busy here today at Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Coming up at 1 o'clock, we have Will Nault and Pat Steinberg live on location at Mr. Fireplace. Yeah, you know them from the Flames warm-up. They sponsor our pregame show right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. But they're having their 19th annual Spin to Win contest. Their promotion continues. And the guys are going to be live there today from 1 till 6 o'clock, 5410 17th Avenue in the Southeast. Now you can spin to win for savings up to 50%. Mr. Fireplace doing it right for 49 years. They clean out my fireplace to give the old tune-up every year, man. It's a great deal. Keep things nice and safe. We'll find out what's going on after 1 o'clock. We will talk with the one and only Jason Strudwick next as our NHL Insider segment will continue on Hockey Central at noon, Sportsnet 960.
Hockey Central at noon continues only on Calgary's hockey station, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Kelly Kirsch making way for the big show coming up at 1 o'clock live from Mr. Fireplace. Right now, we'll talk to one of our NHL insiders. You know him from Dinner Television up in Edmonton on City, but you also know him as a former NHL defenseman with all kinds of teams, including the Edmonton Oilers, New York Rangers, everywhere. It's Jason Strudwick. How are you, sir?
I'm great. How are you doing today?
We're doing okay. Last night, Nail Yakupov returns as a St. Louis Blue to Edmonton, the city that drafted him. What was the reaction to Mr. Yakupov coming back as a visitor?
He was always well-liked here. Yeah. You know, if you just took the man, the person, he was very well-liked. He did a lot of nice things in the community, always very nice to the fans, a very chatty guy, great, great bubbly personality, really fun guy. So they did do honor him to the video presentation, and, you know, it was warmly received. And I thought very well-deserved. The person is a very, very good person. The other side of that is kind of the hockey component. Now, he was drafted first overall in a draft that may not go down as the greatest draft in hockey history, but, you know, and he hasn't quite found his way in the NHL yet. So I think that people were happy to see Nail and say, you know, it's nice, good luck, wish him luck. Some of the fan base would like to have kept him here. I'm in the group that I think it was time for both the Oilers and him to move on to another team. And I'm surprised, though, that it was St. Louis. You know, you're talking about a very structured team with a coach that's very demanding, expects you to play very specific areas of the ice. And Nail doesn't quite seem to fit into their mold. But, you know, Ken Hitchcock spoke about it. He said, you know, he's unique to what we have. He's not what we have on this team already. So he brings a different dynamic. And I hope for Nail that it works out because he's a terrific, terrific guy. But there is some work to be done there for him to be easier to play with and to use the skill sets he does have.
Where do you think he projects if best case scenario he reaches his potential? What do you think? Is he a 30-goal scorer? Better than that? Less than that?
I go less than that. I think that when I look at Nail Yakupov, I see him as two things he's good at. He's very competitive, and I think he's got a very quick snapshot, a quick release snapshot. I don't see him as a guy that's a good one-timer. Now, when I look at the one-timers around the league, I think of one guy, the grade 8, Ovi, Stamkos. Those are great one-timers. You put it around them, and that's getting off their stick. If it's not on the net, it's definitely coming close. Nail, his one-timer is not quite there. Did he work on it enough? Does he practice on it? Is he strong enough? I don't know the answer to those questions. I don't play with him, but You know, he needs to, if you want to be a power play guy and you want to do what he wants to do, which is trying to get lost in the offensive zone, then shoot that one-timer. When it's fed to you by your center, you got to bury those shots. And I don't see him doing that enough. So, you know, my advice to him would be to work on his shot and to get where he gets a chance to shoot a one-timer, he kills it every single time.
Yeah, it's going to be that. And maybe that's what St. Louis, they can maybe have him as a bit of a project where he doesn't have to have all that expectation on him and he can just kind of learn the game and play it right. It maybe does work out for him, you know?
Well, it's a possibility. Listen, Vlady Tarasenko's there. I mean, there's a guy that definitely has got to figure it out, who's a monster of a player. And the thing about Vlady Tarasenko, there's no doubt he goes in the offensive zone, but he does have, he understands he's got to play a 5-by-5 game. And Ken Hitchcock spoke in his comments about Neil Yakupov needing to learn how to play 5-on-5. Mm-hmm. So what does that mean? You know, we hear coaches throw that all around. What I think it means, and what it does mean, quite frankly, is that your teammates can count on you to be in certain spots of the ice in certain situations. For instance, when the puck, if Neil Yakupov's training the right wing in his own zone, and the puck is going out on the left side, let's say a D-man has to fire up the wall, the player, the left winger gets it, he's expecting support to come over. So whether that means that you come underneath him, you tap it back to the to Neil, or you chip it out and he goes over and supports it, he's counting on you. It's almost a no-look pass because he knows that you're supposed to be there. Well, if you're not there, now it looks bad for that wing because he's chipped it out. And no one's going with speed to go retrieve that puck, or he's dumped it off to the middle, or he's looking to dump it to the middle, and you're not there. Now he's got to eat it, goes back in the zone, and guess who gets in trouble? Mm-hmm. That winger gets in trouble because you're not there to back him up. You're not there to support him. And that's what I say. When people say you got to be a good teammate 5-on-5, that's what they're talking about. Can you be where you're supposed to be, or really be when you're supposed to be, so your teammates can count on you as an out, or to help them out, whether it's on a rush, a 2-on-1, or in your own zone, but that's a really specific situation. That's what Neil has to understand.
Yep, and we'll see him tomorrow night here in Calgary as St. Louis rolls into here for a huge game for the Flames. Speaking of huge games, we've seen the time lapse on Sportsnet in Winnipeg. They've converted their stadium, their football stadium, into a hockey rink, and they will play the Heritage Classic there on Sunday. Now, outdoor games, I mean, the first one in Edmonton, everybody was buzzing about it. And I think, the next few after that were pretty cool. We loved the one that we had here in Calgary a few years ago against Montreal. As a former player, tell me about getting ready to play an outdoor game, what it's like, forget about the crowd and the elements, but what changes and what adjustments does a player have to make?
I would have killed to play in an outdoor game. I never got a chance. The only time I played an outdoor game was when the lockouts. I went on and played in Hungary with my cousin Rob Niedermeyer. You guys would know him down there. And we went and played in Hungary. And we played an outdoor game in a velodrome. And it was one of the coolest experiences that both of us ever had. We still talk about it. So the players think it's cool. It's unique. They want to do it. But there are some adjustments. I think that playing in a big stadium like that, where there's no roof, and it's just, it really throws off your kind of your sense of where you're at, almost on the
depth
ice.
Depth perception, yeah.
There's no, there's nothing to refer to. Like say, I'm crossing over. Here's the blue. Here's the score clock. It just really changed up, and you're so far away from the fans at some of those games. But there's a lot of excitement, and I think also for the communities that it's held in. You just said yourself, you guys love the one you had there. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. So for those unique communities, it's a lot of fun. But for the viewer at home, does it really change my viewing opportunity or the way I feel about a game if I'm watching an outdoor game in Winnipeg or if they're playing in their home arena? Doesn't change it at all. So I think what we have to get away from is thinking, oh man, this is it's losing its luster. Yeah, it's not quite as exciting, but for the individual communities where it matters, it does make it special, and that's what it's about. So I have no problem if they want to continue to do these outdoor games. The players like them. It's great for those local communities, and that's what matters. It doesn't matter for us watching home and TV. The game isn't quite as good. The ice is usually as fast. But for all that group that matters, it's very special.
Are you surprised it's not sold out?
No, I'm not. And it's too early. Listen, we I'm not a big Blue Jays fan, but I've been watching a lot of baseball.
Yeah.
I'm a big Cubbies fan. I'm a Chicago Cubs fan. So, it just feels like we just ended the Blue Jays. We still got the October going. Hopefully the Cubbies make it in there against Cleveland tomorrow night. But it's like we barely even got our beak wet here for this NHL season. We're already diving into an outdoor game or one of these classics. They should have pushed it back. Now, I know it's hard. I understand there's a lot of things go into it. Should have been November. Should have been even early December. But this is way too early because I don't think people engage in hockey until at least November.
Yeah, it's And I guess they were probably worried, Jason, about the weather and what could, you know, Winnipeg can get wild in November as well. But I guess it could get wild in October too, right?
But isn't that the special part about it? I mean, that's reality. We live in Canada and there's some different weather challenges. And, you know, you have the one here, the very first one in Edmonton. I swear, what is it, old 50, 60,000?
Mm-hmm.
I've talked to, I think, 200,000 people that are at the game. Everyone was there. And they talked about how cold they were. And, you know, and that's what makes it special. That is Canada. That's our weather. And we have to accept it or not. I think that's what makes it cool. In fact, you know, I plan on going to the Eskimos' last home game this year. On what is it, November 5th or November 4th,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to be cold. I think it'll be minus 5. I'll take my 5-year-old and my nephew, who's 7 or 8 now. I guess he's 8. Sorry, Jet. But I'll take the two of them. You know, that's the experience. That's why we love sports. I like that. I mean, I played in the NHL for a long time, but I think it's cool going to watch the Eskimos play outdoors when it's cold. Am I cold? Yeah. But I've got hot shots in every single glove and mitt of myself and my kids. You know, I'm having warm drinks as much as I can. And probably won't be a lot of beer drank by anyone that day. But
no.
That's what makes it special. That's why I don't think you should worry about the weather if you're the NHL. Make it a cool experience. That's what people want.
And after all these, you know, they've had a bunch of these, Jason, and they haven't had to cancel one yet. You always think that, you know, just like Murphy's Law, you would run into a blizzard or a rainstorm or something where, you know, where they've kind of maybe had to push it back a little bit a couple times, but they've never had to cancel one. They've had some really good luck, I guess.
Yeah, they sure have. You know, and I guess, you know, that whether maybe God's a hockey fan, I don't know. But you know, it's a cool event for that city. Now, I've never been to one. I'd like to go to one sometime. I would plan on taking my boys to one when I hope when they get old enough to go, they're still happening because it's just a cool experience. I mean, it's a pregame, it's a postgame, it's everything. And the players, they love it. You can see they're having fun. The only concern is the ice. As long as the ice is good, you don't want any players, you know, twisting a knee because of a bad ice. But they slow it down. You can see, I think it was one in Detroit a couple of years ago on January 1st, I believe.
Michigan Stadium, the ice was bad.
The guy slowed down. I mean, they get it. Both teams slow down. You don't want anyone getting hurt, but it's still an NHL game.
Yeah, I remember when Brent Sutter was the coach of the Flames, and they simplified their game against Montreal outside of McMahon Stadium. They said, like, don't try a finesse pass. If you get a chance to shoot it, shoot it. And it worked, right? And they won the game, and it was great. So that's the outdoor game, and yeah, they're starting kind of early, but I think the folks in Winnipeg will it'll be something to remember for sure. We're chatting with Jason Strudwick, our NHL insider, right here on Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Jason played a long time in the NHL. Now, Jason, you played on some teams that were good, some teams that weren't so good, and I imagine you had situations where the power play was rolling, and then you had time where, you know, everyone was kind of stressing out about the power play. What's it like with, you know, take us to where the Flames are at right now in their mindset. They know the power play has to get better. They know they're struggling. They know they've got the right, you know, they've got players that can do it. What is going on where they just seem to be so nervous and so tight? How do you fix that?
Okay, let's be honest. This might surprise some of your listeners, but I wasn't really a power play guy. The only time I got on the power play is if we were up 10-1 or we were losing 10-1. Then all of a sudden, you'd be like, "Hey, let's bring in the lefty." And I loved going on the power play at that point because it didn't matter.
Yeah.
It didn't matter what happened. But the flip side of that, I killed a lot of penalties. I killed against a lot of good teams and a lot of bad teams. And the very first thing that I think for the power play you have to have. And this sounds maybe a little crazy, but you have to outwork the penalty killers.
Okay.
Because the penalty killers, generally the four guys that are out there, they're kind of your foot soldiers. You know, mm-hmm. there's times where you might have a top player like a Pavel Datsyuk or these types of guys killing. But a lot of times it's your third, fourth liners, and it's your second and third penalty defense. And they're out there, and they take a lot of pride in it. So you have to outwork them. So I saw some of the Flames power plays I've been watching. I think that they're a little too hesitant, and they're not being aggressive enough, going to retrieve pucks. If there's one defender in there, you send two guys. If there's two, there's three. You have to outnumber them. You have to outwork them. So that means that's the very first thing that every power play has. The next thing, when I look at the makeup of the Flames, they've got the talent and the skill to make this happen. But the thing is, at times, that almost works against you. You have to keep it simple, and you have to get a puck to the net as fast as you can. So, for instance, let's say there's a faceoff in the offensive zone. The puck's won back to the D. I think there should be a shot within 5 to 10 seconds right away, because that gets the defenders off their game. So now they have to react to where does that shot going? Where's the rebound going? And then you kind of got them moving. Now, once you get them moving like that, the puck's got to keep moving. Doesn't have to pass for no reason, but you have to keep that puck moving, keep that box. And as the box moving, guys are adjusting up and down or side to side. that's where the cracks open. But it all is off that very first shot. And the Flames got some good shooters. I mean, you know, Dougie Hamilton, Giordano, got a good shot. Brody, these types of guys. But you have to do it right away. For me, when I was killing the penalty, I loved it when they used to pass it around. They'd win the faceoff, pass it around. I'm like, keep it passing, guys. I'll count the passes. Because oh, you're right here. I step 3 feet this way. Oh, you just passed it down. Yeah. I'll stand 3 feet down. But when you take that shot right away and continue to shoot, it really puts the team under pressure. And that's what I say, I'm going to keep it simple. Get that puck to net as fast as you can, as soon as you have possession.
Now, last night, the Carolina Hurricanes were really good. It was like a wall they put up at the blue line, and they just wouldn't let the Flames get organized and make that move. Now, that is, how do you overcome that when teams do that, that kind of that wall at the blue line?
I'm a big fan of just close support chips. So, you know, you have more people than they do on the ice. A lot of teams now, what they do, and they bring it, you know, they'll bring up, let's say, three guys, but then there's a guy behind him and then a guy behind him. They keep dropping it back. And I understand why they're trying to do that. They're trying to get the guys to back off that line so they can attack that line with speed. But at some point, it just comes down to, can I just chip it past this team right here and have that close support come over, and we're going to get the puck back in that offensive zone. So I'm not saying dump it in, but you're chipping it to an area that you know you can get it with, because now you have speed coming up. And again, you're going to ask those D-men, the most frustrating thing for a D-man is when you have to turn, go back and get the puck under pressure. And that's one way of doing it. So I saw Carolina, they were standing up very well. And they're a well-coached team, that group. You know, with Steve Smith and Brendan Moore, two guys that I would call foot soldiers that did a good job killing penalties in their time.
Yeah,
chip it just slightly past them. Go back and get it with that close support. And like I said at the beginning, you have to outman them and you have to fight for that puck. Because the dropping back, yeah, it does work at times, but I think it actually gets your guys standing around more. And they're just the first three guys are standing on the blue line. So if you do chip it, they've got no speed to go get in the first place. So I would say get up that ice as quick as you can, chip it up, and go get it.
Well, you know what? That's great stuff. I love the insight. Always good to talk to you. A great Friday tradition. We'll keep it going. Thanks so much, Jason. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next Friday.
You know it. Have a good weekend.
There we go. Jason Strudwick, our NHL insider, right here on Hockey Central at noon. I'm Kelly Kirsch, making way for Will Nault. And the Mighty Big Show set to get underway from Mr. Fireplace. And we'll go right till 6 o'clock. We've got the Real Football Show coming up at 6. Matt Rose will handle that for Alberta Marine as the Stampeders look for 9 in a row at home. Perfect home record for one of the, Ryan Pinder said it today. This could be the best year of any Calgary sports team ever. We'll see if they can keep it going. Ricky Ray will start for the Argonauts tonight. And then 7 o'clock tonight, we go to Red Deer. Brad Curl, Ken Thrower, as it's a playoff rematch. The Red Deer Rebels and your Calgary Hitmen. Looking forward to that. All right. We will see if we get a little time. We're going to try and squeeze in a little bit of Matt Duchene next as Hockey Central at Noon continues. Sportsnet 960.
Hockey Central at Noon continues, only on Calgary's hockey station, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Yeah, it's Kelly Kirsch on your Friday, making way for Will Nault and Pat Steinberg, live in location for the big show at Mr. Fireplace, 5410 17th Avenue in the Southeast. Looking forward to hanging out with the guys down there. The spin to win continues. I'll tell you, they've been in business a long time, 49 years and going strong. Mr. Fireplace will check in with the guys a little after 1 o'clock. Matt Duchene, Colorado Avalanche. He's become a team leader on that squad from Denver, and they had him on Hockey Central at noon. And the question we wanted to ask, because I think we all want to know. So Jared Bednar, who, you know, got hired kind of after the fact because Patrick Waugh just quit out of the blue. Like, what? What do you mean you're quitting? Yeah, I'm quitting. So he obviously was the head coach of the Cleveland Lock Monsters, or whatever they were called, the Calder Champions. And the question was asked: compare and contrast the two guys, Patrick Waugh and Jared Bednar. Here's Matt Duchene with his answer.
Well, I mean, both are. Patty is a great guy. I mean, Patty worked very hard here when he was here, and you know, obviously had some success with us as well. But at the same time, you know, Jared, I think the biggest thing is Jared's very he's very particular. His attention to detail is second to none. I think that's. Not in turn. I'm not really contrasting the two. I'm just, you know, stating, you know,
sure.
Jared's strengths. His strengths in terms of, you know, the detail. We're prepared for every situation out there. And the thing I really like is that there's no gray areas at all. You always know where you're supposed to be and what to do. And if you don't, he's got an answer for you right away when you ask. And that makes playing hockey a lot easier than if you're, you know, just trying to completely read the game and read your teammates all the time.
Sounds like my kind of guy. No gray area. I like it. I like it already. I like this Bednar guy. He's awesome. There we go. Matt Duchene from the Colorado Avalanche on Hockey Central Noon from Toronto. Wanted to play that that clip for you. Busy weekend here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Tonight we got Red Deer and the Calgary Hitmen as we're back at it with the Calgary Hitmen. Brad Curl, Ken Thrower, have the call for you at 7 o'clock from Red Deer. Tomorrow it's Flames and St. Louis. Pre at 7, play-by-play at 8. And then, interesting, on Sunday, we've got Prince Albert and the Calgary Hitmen at 4. And then afterwards, it's going to be, if there's a Game 7 with Chicago and L.A., we'll have that baseball. If it's not, it's Sunday Night Football, Arizona and Seattle. So lots of play-by-play. And, of course, the guys are busy tomorrow. Will and Peter Klein, it's a big show Saturday. We're doing it two Saturdays in a row at Shaganappy GM. They'll go from 10 till 2, 4720 Crowchild Trail in the Northwest. Live on location with a special guest, former Calgary Stampeder, John Cornish. Going to be awesome, celebrating their 40th anniversary. And also, we'll find out your chance to win $4,000 cash each week for October. It is awesome at Shaganappy GM, so look for that coming up tomorrow with Will and Peter. Speaking of Will Nault, he is ready at Mr. Fireplace, the one and only Big Show, set to fire up next. We'll do that for the Comedy Cave right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.